And thank all those of you who have had the patience to come and sit through three different presentations of mine, and also thank you those who have not been able to come sooner but who have come today to test my very fragile knowledge of Latin America. In my first talk, I mainly used English language materials, and I talked about the language of contention in Western Europe and North America. In my second talk, I also used mainly European materials and only cited briefly some work on war and state building in Latin America, just to try and tempt people to think about the applicability of the Tillian model of war and state building to Latin America. Today I'm going to take a greater risk. I'm going to attempt to carry out a brief and speculative paired comparison between party system responses to critical junctures in Western Europe and Latin America. And it's a double risk. The first risk is because my knowledge of Latin America is so slight, and I have only recently begun seriously reading about contentious politics in Latin America. And the second risk, which I admit at the outset, is that I will be comparing two very different critical junctures. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the term critical juncture comes from the work of the Colliers, mostly based on Argentina, but also on other Latin American countries, in which they describe what I would call cycles of contention. That is, periods of major structural change in the political economies of Latin America. Such a critical juncture for the Colliers and for many scholars of Latin America was the turn towards neoliberalization in Latin American political economies. And this turn towards neoliberalization began largely in the 1980s, and it involved virtually every country in Latin America, and it was driven by the International Monetary Fund's desire to stabilize the political economies of Latin America. Another critical juncture has more recently struck the part of the world that I'm more familiar with, and that is the Great Recession that has hit Europe since 2008. The second risk I will be taking in this talk is to compare the political responses to these two very different critical junctures: the neoliberal turn in Latin America and the Great Recession in Western Europe. So I'm taking a risk, but I think the risk is worth taking. And it's worth taking, first of all, because when you reach my age, you can afford to take some risks. But second of all, taking risks is the way we learn. If we only studied politics and economics within the boundaries of accepted geographical sectors, we would not learn very much. We learn much more by expanding the scope conditions of our theories. So, if you will, what I would like to try and do today is to expand the scope conditions of a theory that comes out of Latin America and which is associated with the work of my colleague, who some of you know, Kenneth Roberts, who is one of the finest Latin American specialists and Andean specialists in the United States. I am going to try and expand the scope conditions of Roberts's work. And this is work with which many of you may not yet be familiar because it is new work, in which he is trying to show how the neoliberal turn affected different Latin American polities in different ways, according to which parties or coalitions were in power. I'm going to explain that theory of Roberts, and I'm going to try and apply it to two different Latin American countries, drawing on his work and that of others, Brazil and Bolivia. And then I am going to try and expand the scope conditions of his theory to include the two countries in Western Europe which I claim to know most about, and that is Italy and France. So if you will, I will be carrying out a paired comparison within Latin America between Bolivia and Brazil, within Western Europe between France and Italy, and then the larger paired comparison in which I will attempt to apply Roberts' theory of political party response to critical junctures to Western Europe. Now let me premise my presentation by asking a question, and it's a question I would ask of you, but ask of myself as well. Why in the world are there so few systematic comparisons between Western Europe and Latin America? Why in the world is this a new kind of comparison that I'm trying to carry out? Of course, there are works on democratization, like the work of O'Donnell and Schmitter, which look at the collapse of authoritarianism and the transition to democracy in Latin America and Southern Europe. And I have been involved in some of this work. But that work is largely at a historical structural level. It does not engage in the mechanics of party system response to economic crisis. What we do find is a certain number of Western Europeanists who look down at Latin America and who think that Latin Americanists should learn from Western Europe. And indeed, there's a great deal to learn from Western Europe because European democratic systems have lasted so much longer and are so much stable, more stable than Latin American ones. But what very few Europeanists have done is to try and learn from the experiences of Latin America. They have generally looked down upon Latin America as a continent which can and should learn from their own experience rather than the other way around. Because Europeans have a sense of their party systems as being established rather than unstable, they have a sense that their party systems are ideologically rather than personally structured. They have party systems which have grown up in the cleavage between working class parties and middle class parties, as opposed to the multi-class populism that has been so much more common in Latin America. And they have a strong state structuring of party systems. However, even the most rapid look at Western European politics may suggest that this sense of superiority is increasingly misplaced. Take populism, a term which is common in the study of Latin American political systems. It is increasingly common in Western Europe and particularly in Eastern Europe as well. And I will talk about one of these populist parties which has recently arisen in Italy, which will look very familiar to you. It will look very much like a Latin American populist party. Take the vaunted stability of Western European party systems. Those party systems, as I will demonstrate, are far less stable than they used to be. So we are finding, if you will, a Latin Americanization of European party systems. And we're finding something else as well, which Europeanists should welcome. And that is increasing attention to the interactions between parties and social movements. In Latin America, you have a long history of social movements challenging party systems. You have a long history, perhaps not quite as long, of social movements becoming parties. You have a long history of social movements taking over the state. Those processes are increasingly on the agenda in Western Europe as well. So, in order to make clear what I would like to convey, I'm going to look at one European party system in particular, that of Italy, which is looking more and more like a Latin American party system. Latin Americanists are increasingly interested in these comparisons. Kenneth Roberts, whose work I will quote in a few minutes, has been increasingly interested in these comparisons. And a very well-known younger political theorist from Chile, Cristobal Rovira, has also been paying attention to these comparisons. As Rovira writes in a recent essay, quote, although there are strong parallels between the economic crisis that Europe is facing today and the one that Latin America experienced during the 1980s and 1990s, there have been few scholarly comparative efforts. It is to make such a comparative scholarly efforts that I would like to talk about today. Now, let me begin with the work of Kenneth Roberts. Am I going the right direction? Who is a friend and colleague and co-teacher and who's worked with Connie as well as with myself. Roberts did most of his early work on Latin American party systems, particularly in the Andes, but in part through my influence, he has become increasingly interested in contentious politics. His work on political parties is well known, and here are some of the best known ones. But what is less known is that he's now teaching about contentious politics. And this is drawn from the introduction to his course, his graduate seminar at Cornell. And if anybody who's doing a master's here at Flaxo is interested in studying parties and movements in Latin America at Cornell, he would be a very good person to work with. This is the kind of work that I've been trying to encourage in my talks here. It's the kind of work that does not separate party systems or institutional politics from social movements or from contentious politics. Now, what I would like to do is to draw on Roberts' more recent work, work in which he has been expanding his interests from political parties to contentious politics. And here are three pieces of work, some of which are already published, some of which are in process. The second one is his book that has just gone to press with Cambridge University Press called Changing Course, Party System in Latin America's Neoliberal Era. But it is the first and the third papers, the first of which is published in Comparative Political Studies, that I'm going to draw upon today. What I'm going to draw upon is Roberts' systematic efforts to try and understand how different party systems and different governing coalitions have responded to the neoliberal crisis over the past three decades in Latin America. And here are his premises. First, that the neoliberal critical juncture was common to all of Latin America. But second, the political responses to that crisis were conditioned by the nature of each country's party system, and in particular, by which parties or coalitions were in power during the critical moment of the transition to neoliberalism. Roberts argues, in brief, that where there were center-right parties or coalitions in power during the critical moment of the transition to neoliberalism, the response of the electorate has been what he calls an aligning response, that is, a response within the existing party system. And the example I will use for that kind of aligning response is Brazil. But in contrast, where the parties or coalitions that were in power during the critical moment of the transition were either leftist parties or center-left coalitions, then the electorate's response has not been an aligning response, it's been a de-aligning response. By this term, Roberts means a response which overturns the existing alignment of party forces, a response which creates new parties, and a response which in some cases creates an entirely new type of party system. The example I will use for the de-aligning response is the case of Bolivia. So here is the summary of Roberts' argument. Where the center-right implemented neoliberalism, electoral reactions realigned party systems programmatically, providing institutional channels for the articulation of societal dissent from market orthodoxy. Where the center-left was in power, these critical junctures de-aligned party systems and channeled dissent into anti-system forms of social and political forces. Now notice that this is not either a party system hypothesis or a social movement hypothesis. It's the combination of the two. And it argues that there's a social movement response to the critical juncture only in some cases, only in cases where the party system is de-aligned. In other cases, particularly where the right is in power during the neoliberal change, the response may be important, as in Brazil, but that response is within the existing party system. So I wanted to know, first of all, how this theory held up in the two Latin American countries I looked at very briefly. But more important, I wanted to know whether such a model could be applied outside of Latin America and whether it could be applied to a very different kind of critical juncture, the critical juncture of the Great Recession of 2008-2013. And here are some of the sources I used, which I'll just look at briefly, and I can give you the complete sources later on if you are interested. So here is the framework of the rest of what I'll say today. The critical juncture in Latin America is on the left-hand side. The critical juncture in Western Europe is on the right-hand side. The two kinds of party system outcomes that Roberts posits are on the left axis, either realigning or de-aligning. And the cases I'll look at very briefly in Latin America are Brazil and Bolivia, and in Western Europe, France and Italy. And I'll talk more about the European cases because I know more about them. So here we have a quick summary of the two realigning responses, or rather the two responses realigning and de-aligning. In Brazil, a series of centrist and conservative governments in the 1980s and 90s implemented neoliberalism, and the party system was realigned to the left with the victory of the PT. In contrast, in Bolivia, a multi-party coalition implemented neoliberalism, what two American authors, Erica Simmons and her collaborator, call promiscuous power sharing, and that system was de-aligned by the creation of an anti-system coalition put together by Evo Morales. So here visually is the difference that we see between these two countries. Symbolically, what we see on the left is an election poster of Lula. On the right, what we see is a demonstration in the water wars of 2002. We're seeing collective action in both places, but in Brazil, collective action is within the party system. In Bolivia, collective action takes place outside the party system. I'm just going to skip all of these now. And look at the data that Roberts has presented, which illustrates the difference in electoral volatility in the countries that he codes as undergoing aligning critical junctures and in the countries in which he codes as experiencing de-aligning critical junctures. Let's skip the neutral, let's just look very briefly at these cases. These are summary statistics for all the Latin American countries which he codes, like Brazil, as being realigning, and the countries which he codes, like Bolivia, as being de-aligning. And what you can see is that the index of electoral volatility in the aligning systems was much lower than it was in the de-aligning systems, and that degree of volatility grew very rapidly in the de-aligning critical junctures, going from 28% of the total to 41% between 2000 and 2010, with an overall increase in volatility of 13.0. In contrast, Roberts finds in the aligning system there was actually a decline in electoral volatility between the 1980 and 2000 period and the 2000-2010 period. So if we look generally at Latin America, there is statistical support for Roberts' theory. Those countries in which there was a realignment within the party system had a very low level of appearance of new political parties. Those countries in which there was a de-aligning critical juncture, in which the left or the center-left was in power and engaged in what Roberts calls bait-and-switch policies, there was a high degree of volatility. Let me illustrate the differences in the two countries that I've focused on, Brazil and Bolivia. If you look at the chart, you will see that there is a sharp difference in the percentage of legislative seats captured by new parties formed after 1990 between Brazil and Bolivia. The percentage is virtually zero in Brazil during this 30-year period. The percentage shoots up from zero to almost 100% in Bolivia. We are looking at two very different electoral realignments, one of which took place largely within the party system in Brazil, one of which virtually created a new party system. And the correlation that Roberts points to here is that in the Brazilian case, it was a center-right party that, or coalition that administered the implementation of neoliberalism. It was defeated, but by a center-left party within the party system. In contrast, Morales and the MAS created virtually a new system. Now we turn to Western Europe, we find that the degree of party system change during the Great Recession was much less than in Latin America. After all, many people would say the Latin American party systems have been destroyed over the past 20 years. And that is not the case in any of the European systems. For example, there has been no president overthrown in any of these Western European countries. But there have been changes in political alignments. There have been great waves of social protest. And there have been de-alignments, particularly in those countries which experienced the greatest recession and the highest rates of unemployment. Countries like Iceland, Greece, and Italy, but also countries like Spain and Portugal as well. But here is a symbolic difference, an important symbolic difference. When we turn to France, we see a major change in party realignment. We see the center-right government of Nicolas Sarkozy replaced in the 2012 election by a center-left coalition. Very similarly to the kind of bipolar circulation of elites that we saw in Brazil in 2002. But in contrast, in what Italians call la sorella latina, in Italy, we see a fundamental change in the party system with the intrusion of a new, radical, and for some people preposterous, populist leader, Beppe Grillo, who until his eruption onto the political scene was a television comedian, who used the new tools. Now, many Italians would say, oh, well, all of our politicians are comedians. But this guy was a real comedian. And over the past 4 or 5 years of political unrest, he has become more and more political, and he has been using the new tools of electronic mobilization to create a fundamentally new party, the Five Star Movement. And he's recruited supporters for the Five Star Movement on the internet. This is the first time in a major Western European country that the internet has become an instrument of mobilization, and not only an instrument of mobilization for voters, but an instrument of mobilization for candidates as well. Many of the candidates that ran on Grillo's Five Star Movement election campaign recruited themselves on the internet. They filled in questionnaires. And if it seemed as if they were sufficiently critical of the existing party system, Grillo would send them an email message saying, congratulations, you have been selected to run for parliament on the list of the Movimento Cinque Stelle. So this is something fundamentally new. And what is most striking about it was that in the elections of 2013, Grillo and his party gained 25% of the vote, coming from absolutely nowhere. Let me see if I can find some statistics which will help. Let me skip this because this is general. It comes from Hans-Peter Krise's work. Here is a comparison between electoral volatility in Italy and France between the pre-crisis and the post-crisis period. And you can see that in France, the volatility overall is much lower, the degree of change in volatility is much lower, and that in Italy, a relatively low level of volatility before the crisis, that is 6.5% change in the appearance of new parties, that moved from 6.5% to almost half, almost 50% of the party system overturned in the election of 2013, an increase in volatility of almost 30%. What was the difference between the two systems? Following Robert's analysis, we can hypothesize that the difference in the two systems was that in France, an established center-right party was defeated by an established center-left coalition. Very similar to the dynamics of the response to neoliberalism in Brazil. In Italy, in contrast, a technically non-party government led by economist Mario Monti, but supported by a coalition of center-left and center-right, was defeated in the elections of 2013. So if you will, with adjustments made for the fact that we are dealing with a very different party system, the Italian case is closer to the Brazilian case, whereas the French case, sorry, to the Bolivian case, whereas the French case is closer to the Brazilian one. Now, I have only just begun to think about these comparisons, and as has probably been evident, my knowledge of Latin American politics is very fragile, but it is growing, and I'm hoping to learn more from you and from other colleagues who work in Latin American politics as I circulate this paper. But I think we can come to a couple of cautious conclusions about these large-scale comparisons. First, I think that it demonstrates that the countries were different, their party systems were different, and they have very different degrees of institutionalization. And the nature of the crises that cause these changes are different as well. And yet, there are striking parallels between the two sets of cases, parallels which depend upon the nature of the party or coalition that is in power at the time of the critical juncture. Second, I hope I've demonstrated that comparisons between very different systems can be revealing if they can uncover similar mechanisms. And the mechanisms that Roberts describes are, on the one hand, the mechanism of partisan realignment within a party system, and on the other hand, the mechanism of what he calls bait and switch. When a leftist or a center-left coalition comes to power criticizing neoliberalism and then turns around and, under the pressure of international banking institutions, continues to implement the neoliberal policies of its predecessors. That mechanism of bait and switch, which is American slang for coming to power with one program and then implementing a different program, that mechanism appears to have existed equally in Bolivia and Italy, and the responses of the electorate appear to have been different. The result in both cases was a de-alignment of the existing system. Now, I don't know whether the correlation that I've suggested would hold for all other European political systems facing the Great Recession. I haven't had time to look into these other countries, and I haven't yet had the opportunity to consult my colleague, Europeanists, who are experts on those party systems. But what I hope to have accomplished is to have shown that Latin America is no longer the little sister of Western Europe, that processes that are uncovered and analyzed by scholars of Latin American politics can then be extended and expanded and tested by their application to parts of the world which have longer and supposedly more stable party systems. I also hope that I may have encouraged some of you who are here today to be thinking more broadly about the place of Ecuador in these dynamics. As I've said in my first two talks, I am not going to try and answer questions about Ecuador among the Ecuadorians, but it is for you to think of whether there are lessons from these paired comparisons which may be relevant to your own country and to its party system. Thank you very much.